Hey, Gamertag Radio, we have brand new designs. Yes, brand new designs at our store. Take advantage right now. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. Brand new t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, posters, and so much more. Go ahead and support GTR.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 1011. This is your host, Danny, and I had to call Paris because, first of all, we love doing data conversations, but I wake up this morning and there was a conversation all over the place about the next-gen console, Xbox Series X. It was trending on Twitter. It was everywhere. YouTube, articles. It was everywhere. So I called Paris and here's our conversation about the next-gen console.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Hello.
Hey, Paris Lilly.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Oh, man, I just going to be on the streets in a couple hours, probably. I don't think this is going to work.
Oh.
They all tell me I'm annoying. See, nobody wants me here.
Yo, it's getting, and it's just been like a couple of days now, and yeah, it's not looking good over here either, man.
Oh, man.
So I went to a couple of like stores over here, and I was curious. I went to like Burger King just to see, and every restaurant that you go to here in New York City, they took away all the chairs, all the tables. They just want you to go in, buy your food, get out. Or if you order like through Uber Eats or, you know, Grubhub, I think it's called, you go order your food and they'll deliver like that. But that's it. Nobody inside the restaurants. They don't want nobody to stay in there eating. So, yeah, it's insane, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and obviously Trump came out today and said this could potentially go on until August. Hey, you know, safety first. We got to do what we got to do. Like, when I got up this morning, I went to the grocery store. They, you know, still no toilet paper or sanitizer and that stuff. I went to Sam's Club. They were pretty stocked up on everything except toilet paper and paper towel and sanitizer. So, I mean, you know, they even said they're going to give a lot of restocks in this week. So I think ultimately, you know, as far as supplies and all that go, I think we'll all be fine. You know, everyone just had a panic and tried to hoard everything to start off, but I think it'll normalize. You know, I'm working from home, you know, did a bunch of meetings today. You know, I'm driving my wife and my kids crazy just because I'm just annoying, but whatever, but we'll be fine. It'll be fine. It just sucks. Like I was even saying before, my main thing is just my oldest daughter, because she graduates high school this year. She's going to wind up missing out on the prom. Who knows what graduation is going to look like? Even the typical summer vacation we take as a family, my wife and I were just talking about that. That's probably out because, you know, what are you going to do? So, you know, it sucks, but we'll get past it all.
Yeah.
Just gotta be patient. Just, you know, just hunker down and just get through it. I mean, honestly, the main thing my wife and I were talking about is staying in shape during this whole time, because they're going to close the gym. They haven't done it yet here for me, but they're going to close the gym here sooner rather than later. And I've not missed a week in the gym in probably 5 years, 5 or 6 years. So that's going to be weird. So I got to figure that out. Like, we're saying after dinners, you know, the kids and I, we'll all just go on walks. There's like this hill that I usually run during the summer. You know, I'll probably just do a lot of that. I don't know. And just obviously watch what I eat and not just sit around and become fat ass.
Yeah.
It's the only thing to do, you know.
Agreed. But the good thing though, Paris, is that this week there's a couple games that is coming out, I think is going to help us through this, you know, like there's actually three. So is a Phantasy Star Online 2, which is a free game. You could buy that, download that on Xbox. Then Doom Eternal, and I know there's a lot of people that also are excited about Animal Crossing, and we need that right now, dude, because as gamers, this is stressful, man. This is stressful. Like, I'm here in New York City, and I'm finding out everything was going on, like, with they're saying that there might be a curfew over here soon. So I know there's one in Jersey, so, like, 8 p.m., you got to be home. Can't be out, you know, so... Yeah, so
it's crazy as it sounds that you have to do that, but it's literally saving people from themselves.
Oh yeah,
at this point,
yeah,
because common sense is keep your ass at home. Stop trying to go to the freaking beach, to these bars and all that kind of stuff. They're telling you if we're gonna stop this thing, we gotta stop grouping up together, because until there's proper testing in place, you don't know who has it and who doesn't. So why risk it? That's all it really comes down to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But waking up today, Paris, you know, I slept late and just watching Netflix. So I've been doing that a lot and playing games. But I'm waking up and I see the first thing trending on Twitter is Xbox Series X. I'm like, why is trending? Then I see posts of like different articles from tech journalists that went to visit Redmond and actually got some hands-on and got to see the device, the console, and got to meet the team that worked on the console and everything, and amazing, amazing articles. I think every single one that I've seen has been like great YouTube written stuff. So I know you were one of the first people I think that I got to see the tweet that I think it got you really excited about the console too and everything, man. Let's talk about that, man, because you know, I started reading this and checking out all the videos like late because I woke up later, you know. Let's talk about that, man. Why this news, it got you excited about everything?
Because I, ironically enough, just built a new PC. So I've been pricing out things, doing speccing out, you know, what this is. And to see what the Series X is going to be spec-wise, it's pretty freaking impressive. You know, let's just start off the top with that CPU. I mean, they're doing... Zen 2 3.8 gigahertz. It's 8 cores. A Zen 2 8 cores at 3.8 gigahertz, or you can downclock to 3.6 gigahertz depending on how the developers want to take advantage of it. That's pretty impressive right now. That's pretty much on par. Like, I'm not saying it's an AMD like a 3800 or a 3900, but just it's getting into that class, right? And then when you look at the GPU, it is doing 12 teraflops, and you know it's at 1.8 gigahertz, I believe, and this is doing RDNA 2, which is the new spec that's coming from AMD. We're not even, current PCs aren't even doing that right now, but it's going to do that, right? You know, you look at how they're handling the memory. I mean, there's a total of 16 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory that's going to be in this thing, I believe. 13.5 gigs of it is available for gaming, and the other 2.5 will be for the operating system and some overhead stuff. And even, I know there's a split on how the memory is used. Even I know that 10 gigs of it is like this enhanced version of the GDDR6, and then the other 3.5 is a part of the standard memory stack or something like that. There's, you know, go read Digital Foundry. They explain it a lot better than I am right now. And then when you look at what I consider to be the kind of the crown jewel of all this thing is they're putting a 1 terabyte custom NVMe SSD in here, but it's PCIe 4.0. I don't like my motherboard is capable of doing PCIe 4.0, but those hard drives right now, or those SSDs, are too expensive. So I was like, screw that. I'm not doing that. I was like, I'll wait, you know, down the road. So the fact that they're putting one of those in there, just speed wise, that's why you're going to get these super fast load times and everything. And even the throughput, the IO throughput that's coming in this. So this is basically the way that the Series X is communicating with itself as far as being able to grab the memory, you know, going to the hard drive, CPU and all that stuff. I mean, it's doing 2.4 gigabits per second raw and 4.8 gigabits per second compressed. This thing is a speed demon. When I tell you that it's doing that. So it's, again, this is very impressive stuff that they're going to be able to do. We found out that port on the back, that expansion port, is they partnered with Seagate, and they're going to have these custom expansion SSDs that are going there, and they're also PCIe 4.0, so you can expand the memory on it. External storage will also utilize USB 3.2. But the way that they're doing this is, and this kind of, again, goes into the way that the gaming and all that's going to work, is you can put like your old Xbox One, you know, original Xbox 360 games on that 3.2 hard drive, and they'll play off of that, right? But for Series X specific games, they have to play off of the SSD, either be it the internal or the expansion that you'll put in. Because yeah, games will be taking advantage of that. And you're also going to be able to use that SSD, you know, as kind of a memory cache as well. So, again, you're going to get speed, so much speed load times that are going to be coming directly off of that SSD. And this is, again, kind of the secret sauce that is going to be in the Series X. So, again, pretty impressive stuff. Then it's going to have that 4K hard drive or Blu-ray drive. And they're saying the performance target is 4K 60 frames per second, up to 120 frames per second at 4K. So again, this thing is a freaking monster. And like I said, when I compare it to the PC that I have right now, it is almost as good as what I just built, which again, if you price out this PC that I have, I mean, you're looking at about $3,500 easy right now. And this one, which I have to amend, Danny, which we could talk about, I know we were talking price for the longest. Oh, it'll be $500 or whatever. No, no freaking way. No way. This is a $600 console. Easy.
Yeah, well, I mean, what happened? What happened if they surprise you though, and announce
$499? Because it's doing PCIe 4.0 for that SSD. Right now, Danny, that 1 terabyte one. Right now, go try and walk in the store and buy that right now.
Yeah,
you're spending about $250.
Oof.
Right now. I get, you know, they'll get it at, you know, probably at a lower cost because they'll buy it in bulk and all that. But even if they got it at $150, which I think is generous right now, that's still super pricey. Like, I guarantee you that Seagate drive, when you buy that expansion drive at 1 terabyte, they're selling that thing for $200, $250 retail.
Yeah.
Easy. So it's, again, and then obviously just, the way, obviously, the shape of the Series X, the way that it's going to cool. I like how that there's that big giant fan right at the top for the exhaust and how all that works. And they're obviously doing that vector, that vapor. I forget the name of it now, but the Xbox One X is what originally started using it. But they're expanding on that, you know, here with the Series X, again, for maximum cooling and everything. But this thing is going to be a monster, an absolute monster. And you know, again, if you love power, this thing is going to be super powerful for sure. But we're going to have to pay for it. I'm telling you, I would be floored if this thing was $500 this holiday. I can't see it. I think $600 is generous, to be honest with you. This thing is a monster.
Now, a couple of things that, there's a lot of things you mentioned there, but the ones, I mean, look, I'm a type of guy, Paris, like, I'm not really into the whole specs and power. That's not me. That's you and Pete. You guys are really, yeah, really into that stuff, which is fine. I'm not saying nothing bad about it. But I have to say, was the thing that was very, very impressive is the loading times. That's one. They even had a video of, I think it was State of Decay, State of Decay 2. They loaded up, and my God, it was so fast on the Xbox Series X version compared to the Xbox One X. He started the game super quick and running around, went to the house, and the other one was still loading. And this guy was doing like a bunch of stuff there, walking around, picking up items, whatever. And like a couple seconds later, then you see the Xbox One X version loading up. I'm like, oh my God, that's impressive. Now, games that I'm super curious to see, how is that going to load up, is the Division 2 and Destiny, like those type of games. Is it going to be fast? Even Grand Theft Auto, because those are really huge games, open world and everything, you know? So I wanted to see how that's going to work with that. Yeah. Also, another thing that I really, really loved and was very impressive is when you change games. So when you change games, it automatically will save there. Let's say you're playing Minecraft, like just make believe. It stops, you change to another game, let's go with Division 2, start loading, Start playing. Hey, you know what? Let me go to another game. You go to another game. And when you go back, no matter how many times you change those games, it saves on that spot. It doesn't matter if it is an old Xbox game, current games, Xbox One, or even future games on Xbox Series X. You could still switch with no issues, which is great. I love that so much, man. Because sometimes I'm playing a game and I'm probably like downloading a game, another one in the background, and I'll get a notification. Okay, it's ready to play. So I switch. But what happens, whatever I'm doing in the game that I'm playing currently, it disappears. And then it goes, it basically closed that app and then opened the other app. You know what I'm trying to say? So
yeah,
I'm super, super impressed with that, man. Very, very impressed. And also the video that they showed of Gears of War. Yes, it's not a PC, but yeah, you could tell the difference right away. Even with that video that they showed on like on YouTube of them playing Gears of War, the latest one. Amazing. It looks good, man. I'm impressed.
Yeah. So what you're talking about on that is, because there's a few things that were kind of impressive that they were showing demo-wise. With Gears 5 and Minecraft, showing off the hardware ray tracing that they'll be able to do and showing the different examples of lighting that you're getting. And then, you know, obviously, like with Gears 5, they talked about they were able to stand that up in 2 weeks, you know, working with Epic on utilizing the Unreal 4 engine. Just, you know, it's impressive. It just goes to show that they are going to be able to take older games and, you know, make some enhancements to them and make them look good. So I can even think of an example that we'll have this holiday is going to be Cyberpunk 2077. Clearly, there's going to be an Xbox One version, but then they're going to enhance it for the Series X. And then you're going to be able to see PC versus console, where on PC, we are going to have ray tracing with the high-end GPUs at launch. But then later on, when the Series X comes out and they release the enhanced version, it's going to have a similar look because we're going to be able to take advantage of that. It's going to be in 4K. It's going to be at 60 frames. And they're going to have ray tracing enabled, so you're going to have better lighting, that whole thing. The other thing was where they showed the example of how they're able to basically add HDR to games that did not have HDR before without the developer doing anything. And they use Halo 5 as an example of that to show you how they were able to implement HDR into Halo 5. And that also looked pretty impressive as well. And then, like you already said, all the load time stuff that they were able to do and just being able to save the state of a game. Like, you can literally unplug the Series X and it's going to still save that state of the game on the SSD. So when you plug it back in and power on, you can pick up right where you left off. So again, these are next generation type features that you want to see, you know, beyond just the specs of what they were talking about. These are tangible things that you're actually going to be able to see on the screen when you play. So it's exciting to see. It really is.
It is very exciting. Like, look, let's go back, Paris, back in the days when we were playing, you know, Nintendo, and then we found out that the next console comes out, Super Nintendo, right? You could tell the difference, huge difference, right? And then after that, when we got to see Sega Dreamcast for the first time, dude, that felt like next gen. Like, wow, okay, now we're talking, right? And so on. Mm-hmm. I think I felt the same way with Xbox 360 and so on. But this generation with Xbox One and PlayStation 4, there wasn't really anything like, wow, next gen. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Compared to like the previous mm-hmm. consoles.
Yep.
Like, yeah, graphically it was cool and all, but I'm talking about like features like this. Features like loading times and all that. Like, now it feels like, okay, this is next gen. And I think we're going to feel the same too when Sony starts announcing their specs and their features that's going to have now for the PlayStation 5. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it feels next gen now, man. Do you agree with that or no?
No, I do agree. I mean, you know, I've long argued that they rushed to get to last gen in 2013, and really the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X were the real quote unquote start of that gen, because that's where we started to bring in 4K and you had the capabilities of doing 1080p at 60 frames per second, things like that. But now what we're seeing with Series X, and again, we can talk about PlayStation 5 a little bit, but I assume PlayStation 5 is doing something very similar, where we're getting these super fast load times. We're getting 4K and 60 frames per second as a standard. We're introducing ray tracing into a console, you know, so that you're going to be able to experience it in your living room. Things like that. Now we're getting to some next-gen features. But I'll say this again, and this is what we talk about power matters and all that stuff. You are paying for this with the Series X. Like I said, this will not be a cheap console by any means. But it also pretty much confirms to me Lockhart is a real thing, and Lockhart is going to happen this year because they need a cheap alternative to be able to present to consumers. So I do think Lockhart is a thing that launches this holiday as well. And if I had to guess, I'm going to just be Ms. Leo guessing prices.
Ms. Leo.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. You hear me?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
$599 for Series X, and I think Lockhart, which, again, if the rumors are true, it's the 1080p, 1440p alternative to the Series X. I would imagine that comes in at $399. But that would be my guesses that they're going to do this holiday.
So Xbox One X will go down for how much? $299?
Oh, dude, yeah. Because matter of fact, I just saw, was it Amazon or someone is selling the One X right now for $230. Right now.
Wow.
You could buy it.
Wow.
So I would imagine at standard retail price, they'll get that thing down to $250.
Yeah.
By the holiday.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive at that price.
But now, one other thing, you know, talk about like with that hard drive and everything, because Major Nelson even tweeted out about this to kind of clarify it a little bit. So again, Series X only games will take advantage of that SSD, and they will take advantage of the caching features and advanced features that the SSD is going to provide to developers. But like I said, you can still use your current external storage, plug it into the Series X, and play your current Xbox One games and the 360 games on down the line. But one thing that they still not clarified 100%, let's just take Halo Infinite as an example. We know when Halo Infinite comes out, you can still play it on the Xbox One, right?
Yeah.
So does that mean it's not going to take advantage of that SSD because it's a quote-unquote cross-generational game? I'm going to assume it does not. So I don't think we're really going to see games take advantage of that SSD until probably holiday 2021, when you're going to start to see your first Series X only games. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's still something that they got to answer. And I'm sure those are coming here in the next few weeks and months.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. I definitely agree with that, with your theory about Halo Infinite. Now, the thing I want to bring up is Microsoft is being really aggressive more than ever. I think that in our lifetime, we have never seen a company being so aggressive like this to promote a gaming console. They're being really open. The company wants more content creators to just be involved and share content to their readers and everything about the new console. And Phil Spencer was all like open to be on our show too and talked about all these things and video game awards and now this Paris. Like, they've been really, really aggressive, man. Now, because of that, because there's no E3 now, what's next? Because what is the point of having a review event now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that they've literally laid out the full specs, had Austin Evans come out, had Digital Foundry come out and just show us everything about the hardware. I mean, the next time they really need to talk about this is when they're just doing a full-on game reveal, which I assume would have been, you know, E3, the big press conference. Now they'll just do like a digital event.
Yeah, I think so too. I definitely think so too. So what, you think May will be like the perfect time for that, or you think you still keep it in June for E3?
Yeah, I just think they'll do it the week of E3. Because it sounds like they're going to keep the same time in June on that Sunday, like at 1 p.m. Pacific. They're going to reveal whatever it is they're doing. So I would assume that's it at this point. I mean, they'll probably do some one-off interviews here and there in the interim, but the full on, here are all our games, here's Halo Infinite, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think they'll just wait now until E3. I mean, because what else is there really to do? We've now seen it. We've seen a teardown of it. We've seen everything about the hardware. The next thing now is show off maybe they show off the new dashboard ahead of time. That would be another thing they could potentially do. Here's the new dashboard. You know, they can still use older games as an example to show it off, like they kind of already done with Forza 7 and Gears 5 and Minecraft. But they could potentially do that before E3, I guess. But any new games are probably going to wait until the quote unquote E3 digital event.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
Yeah, I think this is the time where Microsoft really, really needs to show the games, man, around there, May, June, to really hype us up. Because, all right, we've seen a lot about the hardware, a lot. But during that time, maybe, you know, surprise us with maybe Lockhart. Have an announcement about that very quick, right? A cheaper option.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. Again, because I do think Lockhart's a real thing. So you probably debut that before E3.
Yeah.
So there you go. So yeah, maybe they do a Lockhart reveal.
Yeah.
Here's Lockhart.
Or
now here's a question. Here's a question I have for you though.
Yeah.
When do they talk price? Is that like the end of the the end of the E3 reveal? Like that's the last thing they do. And oh, by the way, Series X is $599, Lockhart is $399. Do you think they do that or do they hold off on that?
I think they should just go all out because look, most likely that Microsoft is probably not gonna go to Gamescom. If this continues like this,
Gamescom's not happening. No way.
I mean, I just read online that they're still planning to go to continue the show as of right now.
Of course, of course they're going to say it. Yeah. But I mean, dude, if we got Trump saying now that United States is going to be dealing with this until August, we're not going the second the coast is clear. All right, let's start crowding up and going to these events in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, no, I agree.
Nah, that ain't happening.
Now, no way. Let's talk about this, though, Paris. I think we're going to see everything on that digital presentation. Lockhart, price, games. That's what I think. And just go all out. Why keep it as a secret? If Phil Spencer said in our podcast that the company wants to make bold moves, just go all out with a bang and save a couple surprises for closer to launch, like maybe the end of the summer, September, you know what I'm trying to say? But mm-hmm. And also have a couple nuggets there for the Video Game Awards if that happens later this year. But I think you should just go all out and show that the company is confident with not only with the hardware that they have, but also the features, the subscriptions, the content, the games. Go all out. Because right now, nobody knows what's going on with Sony. They're being super quiet right now. You know, but here's the thing. When Sony announced $399 at E3 2013, dude, they were confident as hell. It wasn't the greatest launch lineup for both companies. But just with that price alone, man, you could tell like they were confident. And the crowd went nuts. So I think Microsoft needs to do the same. Like how they're making all these moves now, it shows that they're confident about and then proud about what they have. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't seem like they're very quiet. You know how it is with PR. Like, oh, we can't say this. No, let's be careful. I think that we're going to see and hear more about all that stuff by the time E3 digital version comes out. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, very well, good. I mean, they're clearly confident in this hardware. That's why they've been very open and talking about it. And I also think they're being very open about Series X because I think they're trying to set expectations that, hey, look at these specs. Look at what you're looking at. Price it out if you try to build a computer right now. Do the math. This will not be cheap. But then that's when I think they do need to come in with Lockhart and talk about it and say, here's the alternative to it. Are you're not into 4K and 60 frames and all that? Here's an alternative that you can play on your 1080p TV or your 1440p monitor, but we still got the same SSD in it, so the same fast load times. CPU isn't as fast because we don't need it. And here's the compromises compared to the Series X. but also here it is at this cheaper price that you can afford. You know what I'm saying? They got to have that messaging ready to go as well. So I think they do that before E3. So then this E3 presentation can be about the roadmap, because like we've been saying on GTR, and I know we've gotten the feedback where people get mad when we say this, power doesn't freaking matter if you don't have games. So none of this matters if they don't have a banging gaming lineup to go with it. And they know that. Clearly they know that. That's why they've been acquiring all these studios and preparing for that. And that's why they're bringing Halo back to be the flagship of all this stuff. It just makes sense. So I'm excited to see how it all plays out, to be perfectly honest with you.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
I do want to transition into this.
Yeah.
PlayStation has been silent through all of this, and I think I know why. But I'm curious.
Wait,
before I say why? I think why.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm curious why you may think PlayStation has been silent this whole time, and I'll give you my reason why.
I think that they clearly know that no matter what they do and what they say, the fans are going to support no matter what. So it's okay for them not to attend E3 or other events, and they can announce it whenever they feel like it, and people are still going to buy it. I think that Microsoft has to work harder to gain that trust, because there's a lot of people that didn't even bother to buy Xbox One. They bought a PlayStation 4 for the first time. That's like the first time that they ever play a PlayStation game, because Microsoft lost that message back then. So I think Sony is so confident when it comes to that, when it comes to sales, that honestly, they're going to do good, in my opinion. Now, they're also, I think, are just like being quiet and just checking out what Microsoft are going to announce to see what they're also going to have planned for the future. So I think that because of that, Sony also been changing their plans ever since. That's what I think. That's my theory. Maybe I might be wrong, but go ahead. What is your crazy conspiracy theory?
You're not too far off of what I'm thinking. I think it has to do with, I don't think they're doing multiple SKUs. I think there is a PlayStation 5, and I don't think the PlayStation 5, and I'm doing the air quotes here, is going to be as powerful as the Series X. The rumors have it around 9 teraflops, but it is doing the RDNA 2, it is doing ray tracing, it will have the super fast SSD for the load times and all that as well. I think they're waiting, like, all right, let's let Microsoft say everything, okay, it's the most powerful thing, and then they're going to slide in and not have their chest, because they don't want to come puffing their chest out with, here's our specs, like we got the greatest specs, and then Microsoft, well, no, you don't, because we do. Because I think Sony realizes they're going to, quote unquote, lose the power battle, but I think they're going to try and win the price and games battle. So yeah, there'll be a Lockhart that's potentially cheaper or the same price, but Lockhart will not be as powerful as the PlayStation 5. And I think they're still going to have the games advantage. I that's what I truly think. I just think they're going to have their roadmap of just banging IPs that we all know and trust, that's what they're going to lean on. And then they're going to be able to come in with a price that's most likely in the middle of what Series X and the Lockhart / Series S is going to be. Because, I mean, again, I'm just going by if the rumors are true. If the rumors are true, they're not going to be able to hit that $399 price point, right? Just due to the price of this thing. So they're probably coming in at $450, maybe even $500. But that's still going to be potentially $150 to $100 cheaper than what the Series X is. But yeah, it's going to maybe be $50 to $100 more than Lockhart. But look at all the games that you're going to get. Look at, we're doing the same things that the Series X's do, even though we're 9 teraflops instead of 12. You see, we're still doing 4K. Maybe some of it, some checkerboarding in the back, but we're doing 4K 60 frames too. And look how great it looks and blah, 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 blah. So I think it's actually smart for them to say nothing, because anything they say right now just puts them at a disadvantage. They're the leaders. They're the leaders. They will still sell out of PlayStation 5s this holiday. So wait, let your competition, who's trying to catch up, Let them do all the talking right now, and then you can shape your message to counter that when the time is right. There's no pressure on them to say anything, which, again, it was genius that they weren't going to E3 anyways, because there's no pressure for them to say anything that week.
Yeah.
They can react
yeah,
to whatever Microsoft says, and they will continue to be the leaders in the space. No, that's just my wacky theory on why they've not said anything. There's just no reason to.
Yeah, I agree.
Not to mention, and then one other thing. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, they got two major AAA titles coming out, you know, within a month of each other. Last of Us 2 at the end of May, and then Ghost of Tsushima at the end of June. So maybe they don't want to step on either one of those games. Maybe it does make more sense for them to wait until July to actually finally say anything, because now they've got the two last big AAA games for the PlayStation 4 out of the way. So now they can look forward towards PlayStation 5 after that and not have to look back to anything that PlayStation 4 is doing.
So you think that Sony's going to stay quiet all the way to like late summer?
It won't hurt them. Why would it hurt them?
I mean, they can announce this September and still people are going to buy it.
Exactly. That's my point. Yeah. They could literally wait until then. I will say, like, again, let's just pretend Gamescom still happens. I do think late August, that seems pretty late to finally reveal anything. I mean, to me, July feels like the right time, because now you're past E3, your competition said everything they have to say, and now you can come in and just completely own the media cycle with whatever they do in July.
I mean, Microsoft did that with the Video Game Awards, believe it or not. There was nothing really, what to talk about, games? You're going to go compare games to consoles? Hey, they took over. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you heard what Phil said when we interviewed him, that, you know, the marketing person stood up. We got to do something bold. And that was bold for them to do that at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're on the same page, Paris, when it comes to this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I think so.
That's good. That's good. It's not like we're going back and forth and like, no, I agree, disagree. Yeah. Nah.
I mean, and I've been joking around with these crazy, because like I was on a podcast with Gariah yesterday, because you know, the crazies that I like to call them on social media with this console war stuff. And you saw it. I took the comment. I don't want to put out there people comment, but it's like, dude, just be excited for everything that's happening. Right, I'm just excited because this is great. This is moving the industry forward. I could care less if it was Xbox or PlayStation doing it, or both of them doing it. Because the fact that Xbox is doing this, it puts pressure on PlayStation to do something as well. And competition, we win as gamers. You know, whether you're an Xbox fan, a PlayStation fan, or a Nintendo fan, we're the ones that are going to win. So I'm excited to see that Microsoft is really pushing the envelope with this hardware and trying to make something special with it. And I fully expect PlayStation to do the same exact thing. I really do. You know, they're going to do it in their unique way. It won't be the same way that Microsoft's doing it. But at the end of the day, when you press that power button and you pick up your controller, you're playing an amazing experience, be it on a PlayStation or an Xbox. That's all I care about. It's great games. That's it.
Yep.
So yeah, dude, trust me. I'm excited to see what's coming this holiday, because I do feel like you were saying earlier, now we're truly getting some next-gen experiences on the console versus what we got back in 2013.
I have another question for you. So you sent me a tweet that Hip Hop Gamer posted about the Xbox controllers having batteries, still AA batteries. Is that an issue? I don't see that as an issue.
Doesn't bother me. I agree with him in the sense of, I do wish they would have just gone with the built-in. Like, you know, I have the new Elite one, the Series 2, or whatever the hell it's called. I have that. That's just built-in rechargeable battery. I do wish the standard controller did the same thing. But, like, I forget which video. It might have been Digital Foundry or Austin Evans said it. But, yeah, I mean, you just buy the rechargeable battery pack if you really want to have that rechargeable experience in it. But, I like I said, I agree with them. But at the same time, it's not a deal breaker with me. I'm not bummed out that it has batteries in it. It hasn't bothered me the past 7 years with the other controllers. Yeah, so it doesn't bother me with this one either.
I mean, I have a rechargeable battery. That's what I have. I don't buy AA batteries, you know. But I get it. Yeah. I get it. But here's the thing, man. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the PlayStation 4 controller, but yes, it's rechargeable, but you know,
that's a lot.
It's a lot, but look at the lights that's in every controller. You know, I know we're not going to see that now in PlayStation 5, because thank God. But that was like messed up, because now gameplay wise, when you're playing using the controller, is less now because those lights takes a lot of battery, you know? So,
yeah, they do.
Yeah. So, see, that part, I understand about next-gen controllers and all that, but honestly, I'm happy that the D-pad looks a little bit different now. I love that now finally there's a share button there. You know, you could share your content through at PlayStation 4 and also Nintendo Switch with no problem, but Xbox is like a mission. You got to double tap the home button and select. It's just a mission. It's a mission.
Yeah, I agree.
It messes up the experience, in my opinion. You know, you don't get that feeling when you're playing a PlayStation 4 game or a Nintendo Switch game. Because when you share, it shares quick. You know? So, yeah. You were gonna say
something? I mean the new controller looks good. I like it. I like the new grips on it and everything. I mean, it's definitely, you know, a step up from the previous generation. And, you know, like I said, the fact that I have the new Elite controller, it reminds me a lot of that. But, you know, it's not as good as what the Elite controller is, but it's good enough as a standard controller. And we know there's going to be so many different third-party versions of that controller that comes out, like from SCUF and things like that. So I'm excited to see what it's going to do. But like you said, having that share button on there is big.
Yeah,
it was definitely needed.
Yeah, definitely, man. Anything else from this whole thing, Paris? Like, I'm just impressed to see how much content everybody's been posting and from all over the place, YouTube and articles. It's just cool to see that Microsoft is giving a lot of access to not only journalists but also content creators, man, from YouTube. You know what I'm saying? And also us and podcasters. You know, I think that's good for the industry. The industry is changing. Marketing is changing. So this is the beginning of more opportunities for everybody, not only with Microsoft, but every other company. They see that and they see this works. It works, you know, and it's good to get other people involved and check out the products and all this stuff, man. Not just the old way that, okay, maybe only one journalist from like CNN or like one of those big magazines and that's it. It's changing, and I like that. I like that a lot.
No, it's absolutely changing. And I would say, obviously, with what's going on in the world right now, it was nice to have some good news that we could all rally around and get excited about online as we all have to. What's the word? Social. What are we doing right now? Social. What is it
called? Isolation.
Social. I forget now. You know, the social thing we got to do, where we got to distance ourselves from each other. But it was nice to connect, you know, for that and have something to talk about and be excited about. Again, it's just good for gaming, period, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's what excites me. I'll say one last thing, because I know you haven't listened to it yet. But shout out to Greg Miller, you know, and Khalif. They did a podcast today. It was, ironically enough, the one that I was supposed to be a part of if I went to GDC, where we're all going to do it in person. On the best friends, you know, we have good friends podcast that they do. They did it live on Twitch, so I listened to it and watched it while they were doing it. But it was a really good conversation, and they, you know, both Greg and Khalif gave a shout out to us during the podcast at Gamertag Radio. So,
oh, cool.
I appreciate that. Very, very kind words from both of them about us, and it was cool, man. It was cool. So I would definitely tell people to give that a listen. It was a really good insight into Khalif, like the other side of Khalif that a lot of people, you know, Khalif from Spawn on Me, a lot of people may not know how he got into doing content creations and just the real world struggles of it when this isn't your full-time job. And because it's stuff that I go through too, it's not my full-time job. It's not his full-time job. And trying to balance that with a family life and, you know, and obviously your real world responsibilities, but you have this passion for content creation as well. And it was a good listen. So I definitely recommend people checking it out.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear that, man. And I'll probably watch it too. It's probably available on Twitch now, recorded. So I'll probably go.
Yeah, they didn't do like video, like you could see them. They just, because again, they're doing this all remote as well. So it was just like a static screen of just their logo. And then you could just hear them talking. You know, but it's available on Twitch right now, and I know there'll be the podcast version that's out as well.
Cool. Yeah, I hope one day after Paris goes on kind of funny, you know, I hope Greg invites me to talk, man, because I know I get good vibes with Greg and the whole team over there, man. It was really cool hanging out at the studio. Man, was that like over a year ago or something? I can't remember exactly. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a while ago.
It was a lot of fun. We talked and gave me a little tour and showed me everything. It was really cool. I loved it. And the studio
was amazing. Yeah, but see.
Yeah.
But see, that to me, it was just a reminder, like, because they literally lit up the show talking about it. I was like, oh, yeah, today would have been the start of GDC. I could have been there. I would literally could have been in the studio today. And because it would have been Xavier Woods from WWE. I don't think we ever publicly talk about this. So what was going to happen was it was going to be myself, Khalif, Xavier Woods, and Blessing Jr. We were going to do the podcast, and we weren't even going to talk about gaming. We were just going to talk about just pop culture, just all kind of crazy stuff, right? That was the plan. And we're all going to be in studio doing it together for the first day of GDC. And then, obviously, all this stuff happened and all that got canceled. So they talk about it at the beginning. So that sucked. But, hey, you know, like I said, we'll get through all this stuff over the next few months, and then we'll get back to normal. And, hey, 2021, we'll just have to do it next year.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? And I know that's a lot of our listeners that, like, this is probably their entertainment during the time that they're stuck at home, you know, listening to GTR and everything, man. We're gonna try our best to release as much content as possible on a podcast, so while you're home, working at home or with your kids, like Paris, you know, it's gonna be for like a month. We're gonna try our best to entertain everybody, man, because we need that right now, you know. I don't want us to just be worried and stressed out, like everything's gonna be okay. And you know, we need you guys and you need us. You know, we need each other, basically. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not stressed out or concerned. It's because the reality of it is we're all just taking a precaution to keep, let's be real, to keep our senior community safe. Like my mother is surviving from cancer, right? And she's fine. But like, even when I was talking to her the other day, it's like she's staying at home and not going out, because even her doctors told her in her current state, if she were to get the coronavirus, I mean, yeah, it could be fatal at her age. And the fact that, you know, just already her immune system is weak from cancer and all that, because it's not worth it. So it's not so much I'm worried about me. If I got it, I'm going to be okay. I'm worried about other people who, like I said, our senior community and people with weak immune systems, that if they got it, they wouldn't be okay. So I would be irresponsible spreading it to them. And that's how you got to look at it.
Yeah, agreed, you know? Man. Agreed. All right, man. So, Paris, I just want to say thanks, man. It was a lot of fun talking about all these next-gen consoles and theories and all that stuff, man. And stay safe, man. Stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a curfew here in New York City. Hopefully, one of these days, they're probably going to announce it soon. But, yeah, everything's going to be fine. But Sunday, we're going to be back, record a couple things. I'm planning to record